At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Welcome to DSC's Campfires with Larry Wysoon. The unique blend of hunting, conservation, and the outdoor lifestyle, delivered in an entertaining, informative fashion that only a veteran outdoorsman can do. DSC Campfires is brought to you by DSC, Conservation, Education, and Hunter Advocacy. Hornady, accurate, deadly, dependable. Trigicon, brilliant aiming solutions. Ruger, rugged, reliable firearms. Burnham Brothers Game Calls, callingest calls made. Double Nickel Taxidermy, where hunting memories are preserved. Taurus, maker of the Raging Hunter and other fine handguns. Now here's your host, Larry Wysoon.
Welcome to another Campfires with Larry Wysoon. Of course, that's the DSC's Campfires with Larry Wysoon. David Fox, thank you for that absolutely fantastic introduction. I am sitting in a hotel room this afternoon and in anticipation of going on a elk hunt on the Mescalero Apache Reservation in New Mexico. The hunt is one that we sold at the DSC's Foundation Gala back in July, and the gentleman that bought the hunt, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to kind of host the hunt, but with a little bit of luck, if they've got an extra permit for a management bull, I'll probably be able to hunt a management elk as well too, and beyond just hosting the hunt. But we're going to be filming it for Trigicon's World of Sports at Field, both the gentleman that bought the hunt and then, of course, hopefully if I can get a management bull permit. Now, a management bull permit out there means no bull that has got a messed up horn or antler, if you will, on one side, or maybe he's a big 5x5, or, you know, possibly even like in some of our places where we do management hunts on white-tailed deer, could possibly be like a 10-point with a lot of age on it, with also really short tines, and so it could be an old 6x6 with really short tines based on kind of what I've been told. Over the years, I've had the opportunity to take some really, really outstanding elk. As far as I'm concerned, my biggest bull is just, about a 380 or so. And it's one I took in Colorado several years ago. Took it with a 44 mag handgun, of all things, and a Ruger Super Blackhawk Hunter, and shooting Hornady's 240 grain XTP ammo, which every 44 mag I've ever shot and owned or played with seems to have liked really, really well. That's a very accurate load and also a very deadly load, obviously. Took that bull at about 100 yards, shot him a couple of times just as fast as I could work the hammer and pull the trigger and still get a good, you know, good sight at him, and hit him twice through the heart and lung area, and actually ended up shooting him a third time, which probably wasn't necessary, but he just kind of stood there. And I'm one of those that likes to shoot. As long as that animal is standing, I'm going to do my best to put another bullet hole into him. And each time I shot, I was trying to selectively shoot in a slightly different location. I get tickled sometimes because I'll be somewhere and they go, man, I shot that animal and put all three shots. You could have covered those holes with a quarter. Well, basically, to me, I have a little bit different philosophy about those kind of things. That kind of accuracy is really, really nice, but it's creating just simply a larger wound channel rather than creating maybe two or three or two additional wind channels to where that animal is bled out and goes down a whole lot quicker. So basically that's what I was trying to do. Was able to recover two of those bullets. The third one actually passed all the way through, went through, missed a rib on the way going in, went through both lungs, and when it exited, it broke a rib on the opposite side. And those other two I found just underneath the skin. They had done absolutely a perfect job of what they were supposed to do, which was to kill that animal as quickly and humanely as possible. But I've been a fan of that 44 mag ever since then, and when I had the opportunity now to work with Taurus a little bit on their Raging Hunter, that's quickly become my favorite, even though I've got a 454 Casull and a 460 S&W mag, which probably is about as big as I want to shoot a handgun, to be very frank with you. Recoil on a 460 S&W, I used to tell people, it says you can shoot it in your right hand and you can feel that shock wave reverberate all the way through your body, down your arm, rather through your body, and exit on the opposite little toe kind of thing. But it is an extremely good handgun cartridge, particularly for some of the larger animals, and I've taken some really nice white-tailed deer with it as well, too. Of course, in a situation where I'm shooting an animal, I don't know that I've ever hardly even heard the sound of the shot going off, and if there was recoil, I don't think I ever really felt it at all. But this elk hunt is a little bit different from the ones that I've done in the past hunting in New Mexico, which I've done some in the past as well, too. Got lucky a few years ago. Was hunting primarily then with both handgun and rifle, and in one year, I'm not going to tell you which states they were, but I shot 3 7x7 bulls in one year, so that's kind of hard to beat. And over the years, I've got a couple of really nice elk racks on the wall, and with this particular bull, I'm really kind of looking as much for the food value in it. Of course, if I shoot a nice rack and it's a nice big 5x5 and it could be a monster 5x5, then I'll consider having it done up either as a skull mount or as maybe a shoulder mount if it's a really big 5x5 by a double nickel taxidermy there in between San Marcos and New Braunfels here in Texas that does all my taxidermy work for good reason, because they're, as far as I'm concerned, about the best there is, and I love the fact that they're local as well too. This particular hunt, as I may have alluded to in the past, and while we're in New Mexico, I will try to do a little bit of a podcast there from kind of in the field, what's going on at the moment kind of situation too. But in this particular hunt, I'm going to be using a Remington 700, model 700, if you will, 300 Remington Ultra Mag. I am shooting Hornady's Precision Hunter 220 grain ELDX loads, very accurate in that particular rifle. Without a doubt, I feel like with the downrange energy that rifle would be proficient out to 400 yards or beyond if it were to be a situation where I shot a bull and he ran off and I'd have to put another bullet into him. Don't really anticipate and don't really have any desire to shoot a bull at that distance. My goal always, regardless how much I enjoy shooting at steel or targets at up to even 1,000 yards, is to crawl in as close as possibly can. And I know you've heard me say that numerous times. The reason we learn how to hit a target at 800 to 1,000 yards is so that when you do crawl into within 100 yards, to me the challenge comes in getting close. With the particular guns and ammo and optics with the Trigicon scope I've got mounted on that model 700 Remington, I mean, it's one of those situations. There's not a whole lot of challenge in putting a bullet into a relatively small spot, even out to 700-800 yards, because of the gun, the ammo, and the optics that we have these days. So that challenge, as far as I'm concerned when it comes to hunting, as with all the hunting, is just to get as close as I possibly can to within bow range, if you will, which means generally 50 yards or less, which would be absolutely perfect. The bulls out there should be in the process of starting to scream their heads off. The rut breeding season ought to just about be underway. We've had a series of really warm, almost hot weather the last several days, and from what my understanding is that it has finally cooled off a little bit there in New Mexico to where we'll have maybe 40 degree temperatures in the morning, maybe a high of the 70s. So in comparison to a high of the 90s to 100 and the lows in the 50s or maybe even the 60s. So that little bit of cool weather, you know, may kind of cause those elk to get a little bit more aggressive in their calling and aggressive as far as the rut's concerned. You know, the rut would occur same time, even if it were hot. The temperature has not so much to do with when the rut occurs as to the activity. Imagine, if you will, the same thing with white-tailed deer. The rut pretty much occurs almost the same time every year, and the reason it does is to have those fawns barn at the most opportune time nutritionally, and the same thing with the elk. But think about the fact that it's should be getting cool, you as a person, and so therefore you put on all your winter clothes, and you've got on a heavy sweater and maybe a vest and long underwear to start with, and then all that covered up with a heavy coat, and you're inside and you're all dressed up and you step outside and it's 85 to 90 degrees. Are you going to be very active with wearing all that clothes? Well, it's kind of the same way that white-tailed deer, mule deer, and elk and some of the other species are. They're prepared for cold weather, and when it gets not cold during that time frame, they're just not going to be as active, just simply because they don't want to heat up any more than what we do if we were in that situation of being way overdressed for what temperatures there were. So, interestingly, as the temperature drop, animals generally become a little bit more active, but it has to do with the fact that they just feel better at that time. They're not going to get as overheated as they might otherwise if they, you know, if the temperatures were in the 80s or 90s kind of thing. So kind of anxious to get out there. Russell Stacy, who is a member of the DSC Foundation Board and the DSC Board, and I'm a member of DSC Foundation Board. Russell's going to be out there with a couple of guys as well, too, and they'll have their own cameraman and the gentleman that bought the hunt, and I will be hunting with Jeremiah Bennett as a camera guy. Now, Jeremiah and I have known each other for a long time. We've done a couple of hunts together, and quite frankly, I cannot wait to spend more time out in the field with him. He's an excellent, excellent hunter, unbelievable camera guy, and a true artist. He is a artist to the nth degree when it comes to oil paintings and those kind of things. He's absolutely fantastic. So because of that artistic eye, he's an absolute pleasure to work with in terms of the finished product that I know we're going to have for the Trigicon World of Sports and Field TV show on that particular hunt. Jeremiah will be with me a little bit later as well, too, on a pronghorn antelope hunt in New Mexico. Again, one that we sold at the DSC Foundation Gala that another gentleman bought. And I'm looking forward to that hunt as well, too. That hunt's going to be on the Eastern Ranch. But this one, as I said, is going to be on the Mescalero Apache Reservation. I cannot wait to get out there in the hills. I'm not sure I'm quite in shape for them this year with all the inactivity that I've gone through here as of late. But you know, slow and steady kills the goat kind of thing. It's something I learned a long time ago hunting Rocky Mountain goats up in the Prophet Musqueam area of British Columbia. So we're going to be taking our time trying to get a lot of footage, trying to get a lot of photos as well, too, and trying to get some interviews as well from the people involved in the elk management out there on Mescalero, but also a little bit from our hunter, too. So we'll have those coming to you in a future episode. Old David Fox, who is a producer of this particular podcast, David is getting ready to go have some surgery on a back problem that he's had for a long time. And pardon me. Want to take this opportunity to wish him all the best of luck. He's going to be out of pocket for a little bit, but I know that he's already queued up a bunch of our podcasts, and I'll have this one to him in time so that everything will kind of run on schedule like it's supposed to. And, you know, hopefully he'll be back before too very long, and when he gets back, he'll be all that much stronger. Still want to do an interview with David Fox. David is an unbelievable musician, and so as he starts down his road to recovery from the back surgery, I'm going to hope to get up there where he lives out in the Dallas area and spend a little time with him and see if I can't get him play a little bit of piano and maybe strum a guitar and a few things like that. David's not a hunter, but he loves the outdoors and he loves having firearms and all those other kind of good things. So I know there's a bunch of mutual things that we can talk about when it comes to the podcast. We're going to cut this one a little bit short this week because I still got some packing to do, and I've got a bunch of magazine assignments and all those kind of good things. And of course, you can read on some of the blogs that we're doing. A lot of those are going to be posted on LarryWysoonOutdoors.com, where Miss Stephanie Murphy is working on that website. And of course, we're going to have a lot of our podcast availability there as well, too. There's going to be DSC is going to start hosting some of the podcast things for me as well, too. So we'll have a direct link from our website, the Larry Wysoon Outdoors, directly to the biggame.org site where the podcast is going to be posted. So hopefully you'll join us there, and we'll pick up a few more friends along the way around the campfire to kind of increase the fold, if you will. And but in the meantime, I know it's also time to get ready for whitetail season. Whitetail seasons are underway a lot of different places archery-wise. Some of them are gunning already. And I know the Texas season opens about the time that I get back from several things I've got going on, including this particular elk hunt that's up. I'll be home for a day or two from my wife's birthday, and then I'll be on the FTW ranch where the Wild Sheep Foundation is bringing in, I think it's 12 women who have never really hunted, and we're going to put them through our new hunter program there. And if you want to learn more about that one, you can go to www.ftwsaam.com and learn a whole lot more about the sportsman all-weather, all-terrain marksmanship programs they have out there, and also the new hunter program. We've got several under our belt and got a few more scheduled for particularly starting next year. So that's a really great program. Got that going on. Going to be hunting pronghorn antelope out on the Eastern Ranch with old buddy with Dave Folsom. By golly, Dave is one of the honchos at Safari Classics that sits on the DSC Foundation board with me as well, too. And as soon as we finish that hunt, we've got another hunt, a whitetail hunt there around Ozona and Texas, and on a ranch that's been in management for about, I think 12 years, and they really have not taken any material bigger bucks. So Dave and I are going to be probably the third and fourth guys to get on that particular ranch to hopefully find an absolute monster Texas Hill Country buck. And of course, all the things that I've talked to you about are going to be filmed by Safari Classics for the some of them strictly for DSC Foundation, of course, for those websites, for some of my websites, for the little sportsman show that I do at A Sportsman's Life on Roku, and Pride Outdoor Network that I do with Luke Clayton and Jeff Rice. And then, of course, we're filming a bunch of those things, too, for Trigicon's World of Sports and Field that airs on the Sportsman Channel for next year. So a lot of these things we're going to be talking about, you're going to be able to see, and really look forward to catching up with you a little bit later down the road here at the next campfire or so, when we really get back into the field and start doing some serious hunting and sit around something more than just a virtual make-believe campfire and stare into the flames and to the embers. And look forward to you joining me around those. Again, appreciate everybody out there listening, and if you have any questions or something you want to talk about, you can get in touch with that with us there at Larry Wysoon Outdoors. That's on Instagram, or going to the Facebook page. Or you can also pretty soon, if not already by the time this comes out, going to www.LarryWysoonOutdoors.com. And of course, you want to learn more about DSC and DSC Foundation, the best place to go is to www.biggame.org. See y'all around the campfire.
Thanks for joining us around the campfire. To leave a comment or suggestion for an upcoming episode, go to Instagram at Larry Wysoon Outdoors. Please join me right here next week for another DSC's Campfires.
DSC Campfires with Larry Wysoon has also been brought to you by the Texas Wildlife Association, working for tomorrow's wildlife today, TRHP Outdoors, Kenitrek Boots for the trails less traveled, Boyt, the finest in hunting gear, Pyramid Air for all things air gun, and Ripcord Rescue Travel Protection.
Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne?
Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV.
Oh, that's awesome!
Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.